Welcome to the Fruity Podcast. From the sugary to the savory, we all have odd and unique stories relating to the food we eat. Explore with me the intimate depths of these relationships. I'm your host, Taylor DeBoer.
Welcome back to another episode of the Fruity Podcast. And as you can see, we are in person today, which is very, very exciting. Today's guest is Brett Harrelson, actor, longtime frugivore, and a true OG in the raw vegan world. He co-starred in Oliver Stone's The People vs. Larry Flint, playing Jimmy Flint opposite his brother Woody, who was nominated for an Oscar for his role in the film. He also appeared in Quentin Tarantino's film From Dusk Till Dawn. His real transformation began at 28 when he and Woody discovered the book Fit for Life by Harvey Diamond. For the last 35 years, the Harrelson brothers have been major advocates for the raw vegan movement, living it, teaching it, and introducing countless people to this lifestyle. Brett also executive produced the documentary Earthlings. And today, at 62, he has the vitality and testosterone of someone in their 20s without ever touching hormone therapy. So please welcome to the Fruity Podcast, Brett Harrelson.
Thank you. So great to be here, Taylor.
Thanks for being here. Yeah, this is my second ever in-person podcast, so I'm honored that you were willing to do it in person.
Well, the honor is definitely all mine. Since I first met you in the gym and discovered your dietary regimen, I was like, we have to be friends. And you were glowing from the minute I met you, and it just shows, you know, success leaves clues.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. So we were introduced by a mutual friend who was like, oh, you guys eat the same. Like, you eat the same diet. So then you approached me and was like, oh, I heard you're like raw vegan or fruitarian. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was Brian. Brian introduced us.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Character. I've been trying to convert him, but it's hard to get people to, I always say, form good habits because they're hard to break no matter what you form.
Oh, my gosh.
It's hard to get people to change habits that they learn before they can walk or talk.
It is so true. So you've been raw vegan for 35 years. So what inspired you to go raw vegan? Because obviously 35 years ago is probably much more rare and like kind of very fringe people who kind of did that.
Yeah. Well, first off, I'm not 100% raw vegan. I'm so high energy person that if I go 100% raw, which I've done, I'm bouncing off the walls. So I do. And not because I think I need it. It's just too raw. People can't be around me because my energy is just exhausted.
Yeah.
It's already enough. But 60% of my diet's just raw fruit. And then mostly what I eat every day is just mostly fruit. And then I just enjoy a huge salad, and I'll make a salad that will give new meaning to the word salad. But I do like some heated foods, like a nice bowl of soup. That's dead food. The enzymes have been killed. But if I don't have a little bit of heated food just to ground me a little bit, it's almost unbearable to be with me. But most of my diet's raw. I believe in fasting, and I do fasting a lot. And just to be, I'm not 100% raw vegan.
Yeah. Well, I should say that too. Most of my listeners and followers know that I'm not 100% raw vegan either. I would consider myself high raw, yeah. Even though I hate to like put a label to it. But yeah, technically I'm not 100% raw either. I usually do have cooked food come dinner time. Do you find too seasonally that changes? Like, do you eat more raw in the summer compared to the like fall, winter months?
Well, it's definitely true that most people, I know what you're saying. Most people in the winter will eat some more heated foods, and in the summer, definitely more raw.
Yeah.
Because it's more refreshing. First off, I live in a climate that we don't really have winters, as you
know. Yeah, we're in Southern California.
For me, I diet really, living here because of it, it doesn't fluctuate much.
Okay.
It would be barely noticeable. So, but a lot of people, I agree with what you say, they'll a little more heated foods in the colder climates, and a little more raw foods and more fruits and fruit smoothies in the summertime.
Yeah, amazing. So what was your aha moment to be like, This is the way I should be eating. I should be eating mostly raw foods.
I can say that it's a great story. Somebody had told me back in the 80s, it was probably like in 84, right around there, you got to read this book, Fit for Life by Harvey Diamond, Harvey and Marilyn Diamond. And I never read it. But about years later, I was racing, and I was finishing up a race in Miami, and I had a flight coming back to L.A. where I was living with Woody in Malibu at the time. And I saw it at the airport just before I get on the plane at the little airport bookstore. And I saw the book Fit for Life. I'm like, God, somebody recommended that years ago. I said, I'll just read that. And I read that book and almost completed the whole book from the 5.5 hour flight from Miami to LA. And I was on fire. And I literally came home and Woody was actually napping. And all of a sudden he comes in and hears all this commotion. And I'm in the kitchen with a garbage bag just sweeping out all these Campbell's soups that have MSG and monosodium glutamate and red dyes and every type of preservative. And
yeah,
he's like, yo, bro, whoa, what are you doing, man? He's like, dude, we ain't, this shit's poison, bro. And he was just like, and I'm like, you got to read the book. But he was already at that time trying to say, we got to get off dairy. Somebody hipped him to dairy.
Got it.
But not the meat yet. Actually, I'd given up, you know, red meats and all meats except for seafood a few years before I even read that book. And it was probably because I was such a serious athlete with cycling and just the meat bogged me down. And so I got rid of the heavier, you know, the burgers and the Big Macs, and I quit that and did some fish and stuff. But after reading Fit for Life, oh, dude, I was impossible to be around.
Yeah.
And I would, you know, I got to say, you know, it's better to not preach didactically, but just preach by example. And,
100%.
You know, that's, you know, and then I read every book that Harvey Diamond recommends in there, from Sugar Blues to Diet for a New America. I mean, there was just so many books I was reading, and all the books like Toxemia Explained by T.C. Fry, and all the Herbert Sheldon and the Norman Walker, you know, the pioneers of natural hygiene, and they all live to be 115 and die of natural causes. those guys are some of the best books. Fasting Can Save Your Life, Fruits and Vegetables, What's Missing in Your Diet.
Yeah.
You start reading some of those books and then you realize how we've just been stooped on the medical industry. And oh, God forbid you tell somebody you don't eat meat. Like, where do you get your protein? You know the deal.
Yeah, I know. And we're going to get to the protein question. But it's, I mean, obviously you just kind of explained this. It's so hard when you kind of have this light bulb moment for yourself of like, everything we're eating is poison. I need to change how I'm eating. I'm to not be preachy to everyone else. Like, it's so hard not to, because you're going through it, but it's like, you kind of have to, again, like you said, lead by example, because if you're too preachy and someone else isn't ready yet, then they're just going to be super resistant.
It's like shutting religion down the throat. Nobody wants to hear. Plus when you, and Harvey Diamond, a lot of the things I say are really quotes right out of his book.
Yeah.
You know, you know, when you try to tell somebody something that they've learned from such an early age and it attacks their program belief systems, it usually meets with resistance. And I just tell people, you know, I don't even know where to begin, where you, there's a reason they put sugar in everything from cereals to breads, because you are predisposed to eating sweets. And then you got the people going, oh no, look at my mole, my whatever, those fang teeth. We're meant to eat meat.
I'm like, oh, really? Yeah.
Let me go see you tackle that cow. And even if you've got a rock and hit it on the head and knocked it out, now let me just see you with your bare hands, your claws, and your big fangs. Let me see you even get through his hide to get to the meat with your teeth. Your jaw would be worn out before you even got to it. So if you're so meant to it, go ahead and let me see you tackle that.
Yeah.
Whatever. And then they're like, well, where do you get your protein?
Yeah. So, I mean, we can talk about the protein thing now, because it's so, I mean, again, it comes up so early when talking with people who eat similarly to us. So obviously you're really active. I see you in the gym all the time. And so how come you haven't fallen over from protein deficiency yet?
I mean, it just, you know, the food, you know, administration and the way the four basic food groups, when you learn how that really came about, had nothing to do with health. It was more came about from an agricultural, economical standpoint. But when you read books like Diet for a New America by John Robbins, you know, about how much grain and how much acres you have to grow just to make 1 pound of beef. And the body, the human body, so amazing. It can actually convert animal protein, meat, convert that into amino acids, and then convert that into human protein. But it does so at the great expense and enervation of wasting your precious battery and
energy,
reserves.
Yeah.
And I tell people, particularly people that, you know, want to have a contest with me, a fitness contest, you know, I'm going to almost always, I would right now probably be in the top 2% of everybody, regardless of age. Matter of fact, I know I would.
Yeah.
And then you put yourself against somebody that's 62. Most people think I'm like 48, 51. So I'm usually guessing. I did one of the tests recently from Novus, I think it's called.
Yeah, talk about that, because I mentioned that in the intro when I was talking about your egg testosterone and vitality. So yeah, we can table the protein thing for a second.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got to say, I wanted to, you know, I am older and I don't really feel like I've slowed down much. A lot of people that are around me wish I could chill out a little bit. Quit smoking weed recently, which was my drug of choice, but I figured it wasn't doing my lungs any good. But yeah, you know, I decided, let me do the blood work at a place that does extensive testing. They had my biological age and my chronological age about a 12-year difference. They said that's extremely good. And I knew it was going to be good. Plus, I have good genetics, but it's all diet.
Yeah.
But so they do the blood work. And then they finally call me in and the doctor says, she goes, you know, introduces herself. She goes, let me ask you, how long have you been doing the testosterone replacement? I said, I've never done it in my life. I actually am here to see where that all that stuff is, because I'm considering maybe I should consider it. I've heard there's great advances. And do I want to do hormone replacement and testosterone replacement? She goes, she looked at me like hard to believe. She goes, you've not done it even maybe a little. I said, I've never done it once in my life. I've never done steroids. She's like, do you know what your test? Have you ever? I've said, I've never done this. And she said, your testosterone, I can show you the charts. I knew it was going to be good, but
yeah.
Even this, it's affirmation.
Yeah, right.
Made me feel good. I'm like, damn, I feel 978.
Wow.
Swear that's to amazing. God, 978. Yeah. And I said, that's good, right? She goes, it goes to 1,000, I think she said. She goes, 978, most 20-year-olds would love to be at 978. She goes, you're like a 20-year-old, and it's very hard for me to believe you have not done that, because we've never seen anybody like you. And I said, well, genetics play into it. But I said, trust me, if you guys want to learn about it, eat mostly fruit. And it's the diet as to why it's still like it. I didn't know it was going to be that good.
Right.
I get genes, but the diet for the last 35 years, since I was 28, so we're talking, 36, whatever.
Yeah.
That's why.
Amazing.
So need I say, let me know if I look like I got a protein deficiency, because I clearly don't have a testosterone deficiency.
Yeah, exactly.
And no girl that I ever dated seemed to have seen, like, this guy is not his age. He's like a kid. But
Well, and most like young men in their 20s do have issues with testosterone being low because of all the toxins that they're bombarded
with. Drain it.
Not only in food, but in things like tap water. And it does. It's like it's draining it. And so they're having issues with this newer, like younger generation being like, okay, why is their testosterone so low? So like, yeah, I think you're a great example, because when you take care of yourself and you're not exposing yourself to all these crazy toxins in the food supply, like obviously we can't control all of the toxins we're exposed to, but if we control the ones we're able
like
to control.
Like the 5G flying around.
Yeah. And you know,
God knows what that's going to, exactly. The bees aren't pollinating anymore.
Yeah.
Why?
So, but when you control what goes into your body, like look what it can do for you as you get older. So I think that it's like, that's such a great example that you're setting, because it is a problem for men today.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. So yeah, clearly your hormones are great. And so, and obviously, yeah, going back to the protein thing. So how do you think that fruit and like eating mostly raw, how do you feel like that's impacted your like physical fitness? Because obviously you're very active.
Well, first off, when you're eating raw, I've said it for a long time, and I've read these in books, so I'm not sure which book I got this from. If you want to be alive, eat alive. If you want to be dead, eat dead. Yeah. Look at any species in the world, insect, mammal, marine, reptile, none of them, you know, insects might eat other insects. And even a snake that doesn't even have a stomach or digestive, you know, fluids and acids, like how does a snake digest the rat or whatever it eats? It's because it eats it alive, and that animal that it eats, let's just take the rat, it ate it alive. So it's a living enzyme entity, and it starts to break itself down. It doesn't need any digestive fluids because that living food literally breaks itself down, just as an example. But when you, if you're cooking the food, plant-based or animal-based, animal-based worse, I hate to tell you this, when I talk to somebody like, are you eating some vegetables or stuff? Oh yeah, I sauteed up some onions and some broccoli and I'm like, oh, well, I just got news for you. You've killed it. And anything over 118 degrees, you know, you've destroyed the enzymes. And so that's where all the diseases come from. I could go and go and go, like, look at heart attacks, you know, almost 98% of it is because you've clogged arteries. Well, let me just say this. An animal fat is a solid at body temperature, and a plant fat is a liquid at body temperature. Need I say more? And you try to tell that to people, and they just, you, as you get older, you even in your young age, you question politics and religion and philosophy and a lot of things, but you never question the thing you learn before you can walk or talk. And like I said to you earlier, one time this guy saw me eating, like I shucked the corn and peeled the leaves off. And he's like, "You're not going to cook that?" I'm like, "No, why?" I'm like, "Well, you got to cook it." I'm like, "No, you don't." And they're just like in shock that I'm going to eat a raw piece of corn. I said, "Why don't you try this and you'll never put it in a boiling water again?" Anyway, stop me. I'm going too much.
You're good.
Dude, the first time I met you in the gym and we talked, and you know, the person Brian had introduced us, I have to give a compliment to whoever's watching. Her energy, she's living proof of the success that of a mostly raw food diet. Her energy, her vitality, just her heart and the spirit and the warmth and the energy was so, like, you could just read there's something different about this girl's aura. And I was just like, "You're my new BFF." And it was just so obvious. Yeah. And then I say that to this day. And I am honored to be here on your show.
Thank you.
And we're going to come back and we're going to get Woody on here because that guy loves to talk about this.
That would be
We've seen a lot of our friends dying and that we tried to tell them and changing diets, man. Ugh.
Yeah. How is that at, you know, being 62 and seeing like, okay, obviously health problems start, different issues. People have to, you know, they start taking medications for different issues. How is that seeing maybe friends or family members start to go through that where, you know, you and Woody are like, "All right, we're here. We're just doing everything as usual because you eat so clean." What is that like?
Well, I mean, it's tough when, you know, you see people, you know, they're your best friends and you've tried to talk and they're like, and they always say, "Oh, here comes Woody and Brett." You know, they're like vegan freaks, you know.
Yeah.
The things they say about us. But then, you know, later on, like one of our best friends, Wayne, you know, he died of cancer. And I told him for over 20 years, you know, you're living on that processed food diet. And, you know, it's just so hard. Like, I was lucky to discover it at 28.
Yeah, absolutely.
And people will make change later, but it's statistically speaking, well, they say psychologically speaking, you're set in your ways by the time you're 22 years old. So you won't learn a new language if you didn't already learn it. If you weren't already an athlete, you most likely won't. You'll most likely live within 18 miles of where you live. So learning a new diet that you've already been doing for 22 years, most people now, with social media, the one thing I don't like much about it, but the one thing I do like is there's a lot of information out there showing you how bad, you know, and Big Pharma is. And the whole premise of the medical industry is to, you know, cure you. Oh, and let's see what's wrong. And let's prescribe you, like, and then if you got cancer, oh, chemo.
Yeah.
What they don't tell you is 97% of, first off, chemo doesn't work at all. It destroys your immune system. And for the moment, it might kill those cancer cells. Right. It's going to kill everything.
Right.
But I promise you, the people that do that have no chance of living. You might delay it for a moment.
Right.
Get us started on the medical industry.
Oh, I know. Well, again, it's more about managing than actually getting to the root cause, which at the end of the day goes back to everything you're putting on your plate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know, I didn't finish the thing.
Yeah.
What animal, insect, mammal, marine eats dead food? It's not like that lion kills that zebra and they're like, "Well, let me put it on the barbecue for a little bit." It eats it alive.
Right.
So, and animals in nature, no exception, with the exception of our domesticated ones that are in zoos and the pets that we feed things, dead food out of a can or out of a box that's been dehydrated. And, you know, they die of the exact same disease as we do. No species, I mean, a lot of times they don't live to find it, you know, they kill or be killed.
Right.
But other than fishes swimming around in our polluted streams that we polluted, they don't die. They don't have heart attacks. They don't have strokes. They don't have diabetes. Diabetes, 99% of it, 98% of it, change the diet. It's gone. You won't need any of the medicines. If you're a vegan, now that doesn't mean you're healthy if all your food's cooked, but I can tell you one thing you won't have as a vegan. You won't have a heart attack. And you know, every species on the planet eats its food alive. Another fish eats another fish.
So true.
The insect eats another insect. Whatever it is, or if it's an animal that eats plant-based, you know, zebras graze on You know, and it's like, where do you get your protein? Well, where did that big ox or that bull or that horse or that cow get those big muscles? All it's eating is grains and grasses, but it's eating it alive. It's a living food, and nothing, no species except for us and our domesticated ones eats a dead food diet. So every disease that you want to look for, all these different reasons, oh, I was just born that way, I'm genetically going to have heart attacks. If you want to be alive, eat alive. And every disease and medical issue that you have, not the psychological ones, if they got pills for those too, let's prescribe you this for your psychological.
You
eat alive. If you, even if you made 60% of your diet living raw organic foods, you will almost guarantee not have any medical issues. Just 60%.
Yeah.
And the human body, people live 75 years. And you know that old saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. They were on the right track. Some cucumbers, some lettuce, some celery, some broccoli, some apples, oranges, bananas, and, you know, pears and peaches, strawberries, hopefully but organic.
The living stuff.
You know, and if you just, get me started.
Yeah, well, it's so true. Like, so humans are the only ones who have all these health problems. And then, like you said, the domesticated animals do. Like, you see dogs. Like, I have two dogs.
Cancer.
And dogs have higher rates of cancer. The allergies that dogs experience today, and they're injecting dogs with these shots to calm their immune system because their immune system's so overactive. But it's like their immune system's so overactive because they're not being fed living foods. Like, my dogs eat raw meat. Like, that's their biological
period. They should have known. And your dog's going to live a lot longer, and you're going to enjoy that dog a lot longer.
Yes, let's hope so. But again, there you go. Like, they used to have allergies, and they don't anymore. And it goes back to, they're now eating living foods. They're not eating dead food.
You got rid of some rashes that you had once you went raw. I mean, I love that story, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. You guys know my story with my whole skin condition all over my body. And I was on medications for 14 months. And when it was like, okay, I'm going to get off everything. And then I switched to fruit, and slowly but surely added more and more fruit. And then everything just got so much better. Yeah.
I'm so happy. That story is, it's nice to see someone that escaped the medical industry.
Yeah.
So good for you.
Thank
and if
you.
I had met you, I would have been your doctor. Anyway, it'd be real simple. And the appointment would last about 10 minutes. Do what I say, read this book, you'll be fine.
You'll be fine. Yeah, exactly. But you're so fortunate that you found all of this, like, lifestyle and way of eating at such a young age,
before
any type of health issue came about. So you have such a solid foundation, which is truly amazing.
Very, very, I feel the Harvey Diamond book, he wrote several books. I mean, he saved my life. I mean, he saved me from living the life that, you know, 95% of the people are going to die of diseases at 75.
Yeah.
But the human body's so amazing. I forget my mind's going at 1,000 thoughts at once. I can't finish the thoughts.
Yeah.
But, and there it went. Fuck.
But the human body is...
Oh, yeah, that you can live on dead food, never even eat an apple a day, and still, depending on your genes, you might live to be 80, and yet every day is Egg McMuffin, coffee for breakfast, and lunch is a Big Mac, fries, and a Coke, and dinner's a pizza, fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and a beer, and live to be 75. And then you don't even realize you could easily be living before the technology that's already reversing aging in mice. We're going to have a big problem. We can't even live sustainably within the planet with overpopulation.
Yeah.
What are we going to do when, you know, people are now not aging or even reverse aging?
Yeah.
And then that's going to be really interesting, because only the rich people get that. And then the poor people dying, there's going to be some war.
It's true. But then, like, what is your quality of life, though? Like, okay, so say you're delaying aging or you're reverse aging, but what's your actual quality of life? Like, maybe you look great and you, like, look like you reversed age, but, like, internally, are you really reflecting that? Because that's where I'm like, there's no way that you can totally, like, out science or outsmart
nature,
exactly. And I recently talked, like, I did a post and I talked about how, like, when on my social media, I would constantly feel like anytime I said something, I would have to back it up by science or some type of study or research. And granted, like, there is a time and place for that. But at the end of the day, like, the human body really is so profound, and science and research can only do so much, because I think there is something truly remarkable about humans that is just unknowable. Like, we're never fully going to understand human health as much as we try and we try to measure. And then I think it boils down to the simplest thing of eat living foods. Like, if you want to feel alive and be alive, then eat living food.
Is that, you want to be alive, eat alive. You want to be dead, eat dead.
Yeah. And I mean, I sometimes take it a step further and I'm like, you know, if you want to radiate light, you need to eat light. Because obviously living foods are very high light containing foods.
And then the people back to that thing where I said, let me go see you tackle that cow and wait and let me see your fingers get into that teeth. But look at your hands. Perfect to pick an apple off a tree or grapes or, you know,
And you know, no effort. Like, no, just, no effort.
And you know, it's funny in nature. Let's say you're in some country that you don't know and you're lost in the forest and you're like, well, how do I know if that's not poisonous? Do you know? And there's no exceptions to this. These are all things I've read in all these books that I read so many. And you want to learn about how bad sugar is, read the book Sugar Blues by Susan Duffy. But, if you're in nature and you see first off, there's a reason it's colorful and alluring to the eyes and it attracts you to it. And it usually smells very sweet. But here, if you don't know what the fruit is like, well, how do I know that's not poisonous? Like sometimes there's strawberries that aren't really strawberries. Well, guess what? And this is a fascinating fact. No matter where you are, if you see that colorful thing that looks like, how do I know if it's edible? Take it, just open it up, bite into it a little bit. If it's delicious and sweet, eat it. And if it's not, and it's bitter, well, then don't eat it. Because there are some colorful and they look pretty.
Yeah, they do.
Not many, but one thing's for certain. If it's healthy and a good fruit for you and you're not aware of it, just open it up, put it to your tongue. And if it tastes sweet and delicious, eat it. It's good for you.
Yeah.
No exception.
It is amazing the like symbiotic relationship that humans and fruits have, because the more like it's beneficial for fruit trees for us as humans to eat them, because as we eat fruits, we then leave behind the seeds, which then grows more fruit trees. And it's one of the easiest ways to feed ourselves because, again, like you said, we have hands and we can just grab them and there's no effort versus if you needed to go and hunt a deer or something like you have to be really fast. And humans were fast, but we're not fast like a lion or a cheetah. And then also we need to manufacture tools to then, you know, accomplish the task of hunting down the thing. I've talked a lot too. Like, I definitely don't think the human species would have survived today if meat was, say, toxic to us. I do think that there's like this role that meat has played.
Wish it would have been.
I mean, yeah, I agree. But like, you know, I think about like, I watched the TV show 1883. I don't know if you watched that show.
Oh, is that the one with Harrison Ford?
Harrison Ford's in 1923. Oh, this is like
I didn't want the one before that. Taylor shared it.
Yes, yeah, the one before that, and it's about basically the Oregon Trail. And
I didn't watch that one yet.
It made me think. I'm like, there is no fruit trees around. There's like the middle of winter. There's nothing. Like they had to eat meat or they would have died. So I'm like, I can see how like there's this role for human survival, like yes, humans can eat meat. It won't kill us. But do I think we're a species that's meant to primarily
eat meat
and live off meat? No, like that's where I'm like.
Well, you know, what's interesting. And again, all these books I've read is where I've learned this stuff. It's interesting, like the true Eskimos up north, that eat this blubber, the whale.
Yes, yeah.
And you know, it's funny. They're like, well, why do these things have almost of all blubber diet? And yet the arteriosclerosis, the diabetes, the heart attacks. They're like, well, they're eating it alive. It's a raw food. Even though it's maybe not the most optimum, get down towards the equator and start eating some fruit. But even up there, they don't have the diseases because they're eating it raw.
Yeah,
and
cooking it.
And so even then, I'm going to say, if you're going to eat meat, I probably won't convince you to eat it raw unless it's sashimi or sushi.
Yeah.
But you would be doing yourself a favor not to cook it. But ideally, I would recommend try some fresh fruit. Isn't it amazing? Yesterday, I'm in the grocery store. And this is a store that I usually shop at, Erewhon or Whole Foods, and I can get most everything I need. Even some things at Trader Joe's. But I was in a Gelson's, and they have fresh squeezed orange juice. And then right next to it, I saw fresh squeezed strawberry, lemon, orange. I think it was those three things. And I thought, oh, that looks good. Let me check it out. And I look at it and it's got all those things, fresh squeezed, blah, blah, blah. And then at the very end, cane sugar. I'm like, why are you putting cane sugar with fresh strawberries, fresh oranges, and I think lemon or something else. I'm like, that's already so sweet. You need to add some cane sugar to it? Are you fucking kidding me?
I know. Yeah. Fruit is already so sweet. Although, like, there's this one girl in the raw vegan space, Freely is her name, and she's known as Freely the Banana Girl. And
oh, Freely the Banana Girl?
Yes.
Never heard of her.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, she's pretty well known, so I wouldn't be surprised. But I had her on my podcast to talk about sugar because she does make the argument. And I see her argument, but I'm still like, fruit is already so sweet that I don't know if I fully agree.
What?
But she talks about that, like, white sugar is technically, like, crystallized. Like snow is white, but if you were to look at one snowflake, it's technically clear. And so white sugar is technically clear. And that it's like crystallized sun because sugar is,
We do not agree. We do not agree.
And so she adds sugar to some of her juices, and she makes like sugar waters with fresh muddled fruit. And I see like, and she has presented some of the science, so I see her argument, and I don't disagree, but I also don't agree.
Our argument is,
so
you're
like, okay.
I would slap her around. You know, bless her heart. But I'm going to tell you this. If you want to add that sugar to your whatever, go. You've been to Hawaii, and have you ever gone to the side of the road where they have cane and they put it through the machine and it's squeezed?
Yes.
And that juice? Drink that.
Yeah.
That's not processed at all. That's right out of the plant, right out of the stalk.
Not
put that through that little, like the washing machine.
Yeah, it like flattens
and
it.
Glass just, that's, if you want to drink from the sugar cane plantation, although a lot of that stuff is toxic with the pesticides and all that, but
there
you go. That's fine. Add that sugar water because that's
but
the crystallized sugar. Oh, get me started. I got to talk to Miss whatever her name is.
But so it's kind of a controversial thing happening within the like raw vegan space right now, where it's like, okay, add sugar and
Well, at least they're vegan and plant based. That's a start.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. But I do laugh when I see fresh juices and there's added sugar because I'm just
how sweet do you need it?
Exactly.
And it doesn't even make it any sweeter.
No, I would imagine that you can't taste that much.
How do you
much
overpower I mean, look at Taylor. In a glass, with a glass straw. Hint.
Yep.
Take
no
note.
Plastic.
Fresh. Thank you. Plastic. That's in all of our brains now.
Yeah.
And with fresh squeezed orange juice, how are you going to make that sweeter? I mean, and why would... get me started. Keep you on track here.
So going back to... I know we keep bouncing around, which is fine. Like, it's just... I like when the conversation just moves naturally. But what... So going back to the protein thing, what is the biggest thing that people misunderstand when it comes to... Being vegan, but even being raw vegan or being fruit-based with protein, because that's the biggest question I get. Where do you get your protein?
Absolutely.
I'm sure that's the biggest question you get. Where do you get your protein? So what do you tell people if they want to?
I mean, it is the most, and you and I have talked about it before in the gym and at other places, but, you know, when you tell people you don't eat meat, the quickest and most common response is, where do you get your protein? First off, you don't need near that much protein anyway. The meat and dairy industry have convinced you if you don't get their protein and eat their meat and they're promoting their products and they're all in bed together with the four basic food groups and the Food and Drug Administration, which right off the bat, why is the Food and Drug Administration together? Why is that? That should be sending off a red flag. But protein is built from amino acids, and there's no doctor in the world that would argue with that. And the human body is amazing. It can convert animal protein into amino acids and convert it into the little bit of human protein that you need. But again, as I said earlier, it does so at the great expense and innervation of the human body. And then you got the dairy industry. Oh, if you don't get your calcium from the milk, which is bullshit, it actually drains your calcium eating milk. And it's a dead food too. And by the way, they now allow, and Woody was the one that researched this, and you can look it up. They now allow, because these udders of the cows are so overworked in the factory farming, get me started on the factory farming. They now allow 2 tablespoons of blood and pus in every gallon of milk. And it is in every gallon you buy at your local grocery store. But they will tell you, if you don't get your calcium from the milk, then your teeth are going to fall out, your bones are going to break. And I mean, it's just more bullshit by the big, if you think the multi-billion dollar meat and dairy industry is any less corrupt than the petrochemical or the pharmaceutical or the medical industry, I mean, wake up, people, and don't let them poison you and force the vaccines and I mean, did we talk about COVID now? The scamdemic?
Yeah.
Let's keep on track here. Go ahead, babe. I mean, I just tell people, you know, you never think that, you know, eating apples and oranges and bananas and some broccoli and celery and carrots is protein. It's pure protein. It's pure amino acids.
Yep.
So that will convert to the little bit of protein. And if you're running marathons, then maybe you could store up some with some energy bars, plant-based energy bars, and you can run those big marathons. But, you know, you're going to be less effective in that marathon eating your steak and all that that you think. Yeah, getting started with these weightlifters. Oh, I got to eat my 12 eggs a day and my 4 pounds of beef.
Yeah, it's so funny. And like, that's what I always tell people too, is it's all about amino acids.
Yep.
That's all your body wants. If you're going to eat an overt protein source, whether it be meat or even, I'll even say something like, say, tofu
or plant.
Your body is still going to break that down to get to the amino acids. Yep. Like, that's all it wants. So why not just give it amino acids in its more simple form? And just save yourself the time and energy.
And what you don't even realize, and most people don't realize much about health, and even to become a doctor, it's only one semester of nutrition.
It's
and
crazy.
All that nutrition is books written in the 50s. So talking to a doctor, it's like, why would I even waste my time? They're so programmed with 16 years of college after high school, if you're like some of my doctor friends, and they are so programmed that to try to talk to them about, even doctors. And it's funny how they're going to teach you about health, but he's dying of the same diseases later on that he's trying to, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
But I forgot the thought where I was going. I know it makes it more interesting for the person listening when there's a point, but I forgot it and it might come back.
It might come back. That's okay. But it's true. A lot of times, like, 80% of medical schools don't require any nutrition course at all. Some might take it or not, but it's not required.
And what you would learn is a waste of time anyway.
Yeah, it's the bare minimum. And so that's why you get these doctors saying, oh, fruit sugar is the same as processed sugar, so don't eat your fruit, or they blame fruit for diabetes. And it's like, wait a minute. No, like, you cannot say, like, fruit, the sugar in fruit literally exists because of the sun, because photosynthesis occurs, and then it's putting that in there. You cannot say that's the same as the factory made sugar alcohols and all of that. So, and high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, I mean, pick your poisons of life. If you want a beer every now and then, have a beer.
Yeah.
If you want to, I mean, I don't know.
Or like, you smoke weed, so you were like, that
I smoke weed. My poison is wasn't doing my lungs any good. But I'm happy to say, and I think I told you this, but it has now been 18 months, no coffee, no marijuana. And my name is Brett Harrelson. I'm a potaholic. 18 months, not one puff.
Good
none at all.
That's
and
amazing.
No coffee. However, I still have had some yerba mates, and I still I've had caffeine, which I've been trying to get rid of completely. I don't do it every day, but I will have yerba mate or a cup of tea that has caffeine, and it's not good for me. So I pick my poisons too. But
do you find though that you probably, like, if you had coffee, were you having it because you enjoyed it or because you needed the energy?
Well, that's a good question. First off, the energy that you might get from that caffeine, which I've heard is more just because it decreases your sleep molecule that makes you feel tired. But I'll say this. When I quit coffee 18 months ago, and I never drank coffee till I was in like my mid-40s. So it was about 15, maybe 20 years ago, early 40s, when I started drinking. It was really just a ceremony, hanging out with the guys, having your coffee.
Yeah.
But so I quit. Within 3 weeks, my energy levels were right back to where they were without it.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. And I read that would be the case, and it in fact was. So a lot of it, like I said, a lot of it's just habits. And as I always say, form good habits because they're hard to break. Definitely don't form the bad ones. And I do remember what I was going to say a minute ago. I knew it'd come back. your pancreas is the main thing your pancreas does is produce enzymes. But when you eat dead food, the pancreas is producing all these enzymes that go all throughout your body to maintain perfect, harmonious health and, you know, perfect harmonious balance. And when you eat dead food, what it's supposed to do is then, because it will divert its enzyme banks and it will throw those enzymes into the stomach to digest all that dead food. But now you're robbing it of maintaining your perfect, you know, natural hygiene and your health. Yeah. You don't want to rob the pancreas and make it digest your dead food every day, which is what most pancreases do. And even when I do have that bowl of, and CC will tell you, Anytime I eat some dead food, like a bowl of soup or maybe some bread with my, you know, soup, I eat an enzyme pill by Enzymatic, which is one of the top enzyme pills. But that's not a get out of jail free card. Say, oh, I eat dead food, I'll just eat an enzyme pill.
Yeah.
That's not the case. And like I say, fruit is most of my diet, and and it's why I have the energy I do and the hormones levels and testosterone levels that I do. Is most of my diet is raw, and it's been that way since I was in my late 20s.
Yeah. And most people who eat a lot of fruit or eat high raw, it's very, like, it's very rare. I mean, sure, some maybe enjoy caffeine for the, again, the social aspect, but I rarely meet people who eat that way or eat this way who need caffeine for their energy, because they're getting so much natural energy from their diet. Versus if you meet someone who's carnivore or even keto, you almost never meet someone who's carnivore or keto who's not doing caffeine, because they all are needing energy from somewhere because their body is so starved of certain sugars and, no living food.
And I think it was in the Harvey Diamond book. He said, you know, well, first of all, I love the one thing he said, you know, if we're so meant to eat meat, I'll tell you, why don't you put in a baby pen with a little, you know, one-year-old baby in a pen, put in there a little rabbit and an apple. If he tackles the rabbit and starts trying to eat it, I'll give you $10,000. I forgot the thought again. Most people are just, the other thing that Harvey Diamond says, show me, you know, why is it that after a big, heavy Thanksgiving meal, it's not like, hey, let's go jog. It's like, there's the nearest couch to pass
just
on.
Lay down.
Your energy is so robbed and so dead. It's where can you fall asleep? Because all of your energy, the body's number one priority at any given time is to digest the food that comes in its stomach.
Right.
And if that's in the form of cheeses and meats and pastas and burgers, you eat a bunch of that stuff, you're just, you know, you have no energy.
Yeah.
And I love it when I run into somebody that's, you know, they're like, I don't know why I put on a bunch of weight, but I'm not doing anything different than I did in high school. I'm like, well, it catches up with you.
What you
got away with when your batteries were so charged at 15 and now you're 30 going, what's happening? It doesn't happen overnight. It's slowly over time. And it's just, and you try to tell people, you know, to change that diet and just get, don't listen to me. Try it yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Try it on the greatest proving ground of all, the human body. And you tell me how you feel after you.
Yeah, after 7 days, 10 days.
That you and I are talking about, and watch what happens.
Exactly.
See how good you feel.
I even just notice it, like, it's mostly in the summer because I eat like so many raw dinners in the summer. And then if I decide, oh, I want to make some like steamed potatoes or maybe have some rice, like after those dinners, and I usually always take my dogs for a walk after dinner, I'm like, man, I just want to go sit on the couch for a minute and before I take them for a walk, versus if I've had like a salad or some other like type of raw meal, whether it's like a crudité with a sauce or like spring rolls, I'm like, okay, let's go for a walk. I'm ready to go. It's so crazy to see the difference even within myself when I'm like having a meal of cooked food, because I'm so used to just having all of the living, vibrant foods.
Yeah. And you're like, just like me, your vitality and your energy and just the way you radiate, just such a great energy. From the minute I met you, Taylor, I was just like, I'm honored to know you and so glad that we met, and your friendship is, I dig the shit out of you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's great to meet a fellow.
Yeah, a fellow fruit-based. They're so rare. What does a typical day of eating look like for you from like the time you get up till like you go to bed?
For me, again, the Harvey Diamond book which led me to read all the other books. But Harvey Diamond's book, Fruit Till Noon.
Okay.
So it's always first thing as soon as I get up, fruit smoothies. And it's just got every fruit in the world, and I'll blend it up. And just have these fruit smoothies, and I'll put some frozen bananas to give it a little texture and thickness. Not that it'd be better if it was. I'll put in like one raw banana and then two frozen ones just to make it a little thicker.
Of course.
I'll put in a bunch of fresh blueberries, but I'll also put in some frozen blueberries, again, to give it that thickness. I mean, there's something to that.
Of course.
Then at lunchtime, I'll often go to maybe the co-op where they have a great organic salad bar. They used to have one at Rainbow Acres, but they closed it down after COVID.
I know, that was bad.
COVID.
Yeah.
But I'll just have a big salad. And with that salad, I might eat a piece of bread with the salad.
Okay.
And so that would be my dead food with it. Mm-hmm. But again, mostly raw. And that's another thing. saying how you go, you got to eat three meals a day, and your breakfast, you want to get started with your breakfast. That's the worst thing you could do. Start your day off by just draining all your
meal
with eggs and bacon and
totally.
I eat like one meal a day, and it's fruit all till noon or maybe till one. And then I'll have like this great salad that's just got every type of alfalfa sprouts and fresh broccoli and, you know, just fresh salad stuff, mixed greens, everything. And then maybe a piece of bread, and maybe I might have a little soup at some point. And then later on in the evening, just more fruit and go to bed. And probably a few hours, I go to bed usually around 8:30, maybe 9:30, or sometimes 7:30 in the winter when it gets dark earlier.
Yeah.
But I usually won't eat past like 6 o'clock. But if so, it's just fruit. So,
yeah. Easy to digest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, the time change. Like, obviously, right now it gets dark at like 5 o'clock. And this year I've been so committed. And granted, it's only been a couple of weeks since we've changed the clock.
Try to stay up a little later. So, you
well, no, I've been
in the morning.
Yeah. I don't quite have that issue, but I've been committed to eating dinner before the sun goes down because my whole journey this year has been like very focused on my circadian rhythm and being in line with the sun. So,
good commitment.
Yeah, it's and we'll see. We'll see how the winter goes. But if the sun goes down and I haven't eaten dinner, whether it's like work or life gets in the way, I'm like, okay, I will only have fruit or I'll have a juice. I won't have anything heavy. But I will say, when I have my dinners before the sun goes down, it is amazing how much better I'm sleeping and how much more rested. It's there's truly something to that. And so yeah, I can see why you're like, yeah, I'm eating dinner early and then going to bed early.
And I just read an article in the last week. That it said in new research, take that for what it's worth. But it actually said that now we're finding that in this article, and it's a pretty good article, said that it's not even so much the amount of hours you sleep. They say 8 hours is good, but it's the consistency, meaning are you like what they say is now scientifically with research proven, like if you go to bed one night at 8, but then the next night at 11, the next night at 9:30, and then maybe your next night you're out drinking and you stay up until 2, and then maybe you sleep until 7 one morning, or then you sleep until 11 or 12 the next day, and it's all over the place. They say that is way worse than if you only got 5 hours of sleep. But the consistency, do you go to bed every night, like pretty much within that same half hour, 8:39, and get up right around, like for me, I can't sleep more than 7 hours. And if you're sleeping longer, you have more healing to do. More toxins to get rid of.
Yeah.
And somebody that like me, that it's hard to sleep more than 7 hours, well, it's less things that my body's having to heal.
Exactly. And also for guys, they say you guys typically need on average 6 to 7 hours. Yeah. Women need on average 8 to 10. So you're right.
Why does a woman need 8 to 10? I haven't read that.
Because of our hormone cycles. So women typically have 28-day hormone cycles and men have 24-hour hormone cycles. And so women need
Pass that. I'm going to read that just to know about it.
Yeah, definitely.
I've got to say, of all the things I read, I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Women have 8 to 10.
8 to 10. So if they're on their cycle, they usually need closer to 10 and then usually a minimum of 8. It's fascinating. So, yeah.
I knew I wanted to hang out with you and learn.
Learn some things.
Yep.
But yeah, so when you're like, oh, I can't sleep more than 7. Okay, that seems about right for you being a male.
Yeah. Yep.
So what are your workouts like? Because I know you do. Oh, you also do some crazy stuff just because you can, strength wise, because you showed me some videos and stuff. But what's like a normal workout?
Well, yeah, I the gym for me, of all the things, I mean, back in the day in my 30s, I was working out 5 hours a day. And people are like, how do you work out that much? But it was what I enjoyed. I'd get up. The gym is the least favorite. Lifting weights is to keep the muscles, you know, really toned.
Yeah.
But then I'd go on my bike ride, which I always love, an hour and a half bike ride. Then I'd go kayak for like an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And then I'd go do a yoga class for an hour and a half. And then I might even do another yoga class later in the day. And all that's before even noon. I've already worked out 5 hours a day.
Yeah.
And I was doing that every day and just living on fruit. And then I started like walking on my hands, which a lot of people know me for the handstands.
Yeah, I
actually hold the official, unofficial Guinness World Record. I was set to do it. And then I had, you know, flown all the Guinness World Record people out. And then it rained. And I was just like, but anyway, I did it I had already done it. But then I did it the next day with the guys after they had flown back. And I'm like, I'll do it again. I never got around to doing it again. But my record was 1,154 steps in 56 minutes and 20 seconds. And people are like, how do you, even stay upside down for an hour, but you just get used to it. But when people see me walking down, so you can Google Brett Harrelson and it brings up all
this. I'll stitch in your video that you sent.
I've done it all over the world. But if people really knew, and I'm not trying to be falsely modest, I love to inspire people, and yeah, it's cool to impress them a little bit, but they could do it too. I mean, if you're in decent shape and you wanted to learn that, going down the stairs is actually way easier than me walking across this, you know, studio on my hands. I mean, I can do it. But, you know, it's all my effort that's fueling me to go across the studio floor. Whereas going down on the stairs, once you have your, I mean, granted, you're in good shape, you got a good core on that, yeah, some slouch. But going down the stairs, all I'm doing is maintaining the balance.
Yeah.
Gravity is doing all the work. People are so like blown away. If they only knew how easy it was. I mean, I've been doing it since I was 15, and it started when I was in my front yard, and there was a curb right there. And me and my friend Gary were always, and you know, this is back, I didn't know to keep the legs as one. They were like flailing around, yeah, trying to counteract all these different balances, pulling me in different directions. But I was like right at the curb, and I'm like, oh, I'm going over the curb. And I went over the curb, and I was still up, and I'm like, the light bulb went off. And then I went to my neighbor's back patio that had like three steps, and I knew they were at work. And the very first try down these wooden steps, it was like maybe three or four steps. I like, bah, 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 and I did it. And then it just went from there. And then now I'll just, like, I do the Santa Monica stairs where my record is 21 times from top to bottom. And look, people didn't know, plus I've raced cars and motorcycles, so I've had some bad accidents that hurt my ankles. And they were like, God, how do you go down like 200 steps? And I go, sometimes there's people, and I like to screw around with people. I'll pass them, and I'll be like, could you speed it up? You know, and they're like, what?
That's hilarious.
What? And I've had some people look up and try to catch me thinking I'm falling.
That you're
like,
fall.
Don't touch me.
Yeah.
And like, but little do they know, it's going up that's so fucking hard. Going down, I got that shit done.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not that hard. It's just a balance exercise once you've got your handstands down firm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Amazing.
I'm going to get you doing it in no time, Taylor.
I would love to learn. I would.
I'm sure you wouldn't. It wouldn't take you long if you really wanted to learn.
Yeah. So what, last question, what keeps you committed after all these years to continue to eat this way and not give in to, oh, maybe I do need to eat some meat here or there?
Well, success leaves clues. First off, I never get sick. Never.
Yeah.
I never get sick. And I cannot emphasize that enough.
I've
been sick in the last 20 years. Yeah, I had one too many drinks last night. That's
yeah,
the only time I get sick. And I did get COVID, and I did feel it. That's a pretty strong flu, cold, whatever. And it definitely put me on the couch for a few days. I didn't feel like I was dying. I needed to go to the hospital. But it's almost unheard of that I'll get sick.
Yeah.
So why would I, you know, I just know health, and I've just read too many books. And it's just like, I know some people go on a diet and then they lose the weight and they're like, okay, I'm back. And then they go back to what I'm like, go stay on the thing that got you there.
Yeah, exactly.
And why, you know, exercise isn't like, oh, let me get in shape for, I got this movie I'm doing. Let me get in shape for this movie.
It's a habit,
and exercise isn't like something it's part of your daily routine.
Yeah.
And I always do it in the mornings. If I don't do it in the mornings, it's not going to happen anymore. But
yeah,
like I was in the gym, I think it was yesterday or maybe it was the day before. I was there waiting for the door to open at 5 a.m. because I'm up at 4 a.m. because I went to bed at 7:30. And, you know, but to me, it's just part of my life. Stretching, important. Get on the bicycle and do the cardio. I used to ride the bike on the streets more, but I've had too many near misses with everybody not paying attention.
Yeah, that scares me.
So now I get on that Assault Fitness. That was gnarly.
Yeah.
And then I go to the gym to lift weights. So I do the toning, I do the cardio, and I do the stretching. And it's not something that I'll ever stop. It's not like, oh, I got to. I've never once. There's been days I maybe had a little less energy. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go to the gym. I never once went to the gym going, oh, fuck, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I'm always like, God, I'm glad I went.
Exactly.
I almost skipped today, but it's really, it just makes you feel good.
It does. Yeah. Get those endorphins.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So at the end of all of my episodes with my guests, I do some rapid fire questions. And these are just like fun questions.
Oh, shit. I'm going to get embarrassed.
All right, you ready?
Okay, I guess so.
Which you kind of already answered the first one, but your go-to breakfast. So that's
fruit.
Yeah. And then what's your favorite fruit?
In season and when they're ripe, perfect, peaches, nectarines. And most recently in the last like year, I've just really come to love passion fruit.
love passion fruit.
And that's, yeah, you told me, I think you said that's one of your favorites. It is. And you told me to mix that and watermelon.
Yes.
Which I still haven't, I forgot to do.
You need to try that. But yeah, amazing.
I'm going to wait till you.
Okay, so what's one fruit that you could eat every day for the rest of your life if you can only eat one? So out of your favorites, which one?
God, that's a tough one. I mean, I would just do the one that caters to my taste buds the most. And it's the easiest to eat and organic. I would stay with nectarines and peaches.
Okay. Well, out of the two, I mean, I know they're very similar.
To me, there's no difference. If they're both good, then you know,
okay, so either one.
They're both great to me.
And then what's one like raw vegan hot take that you stand by?
Hot what?
Hot take. Like something that's controversial about like, you know, eating raw or mostly fruit. Like what's a controversial one that you stand by?
Well, just that, you know, it's not too much sugar that they tell you. It immediately converts to glucose with no innervation whatsoever. And did that kind of answer?
Yeah, that answers the question. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Because, yeah, that's a controversial one. Is it so much sugar?
Yeah.
And then your favorite type of workout, like favorite form of workout.
God. I mean, the favorite that's been, and I'll tell you why, it's doing the Santa Monica stairs, going down on my hands and back up on my feet, because it exercises. First off, doing handstands, everything from the waist up, even the supporting muscle groups, which is what handstands really are, biceps, triceps, shoulders, chest, core, back, it does them all. Going down, full upper body workout all the way around. Going up, all the legs, and then the cardio. So stairs, handstanding it down, and going up at a decent clip up, that it does the whole body.
Yeah, that does sound fun. Sounds challenging, but very.
And then go home and do a good stretch session.
Yeah, there you go. Stretching. I know I'm awful at stretching regularly. So, what's the most underrated exercise you feel like? And maybe it's stretching.
Oh well, you're gonna say if you were gonna tell me, what is the one thing that you do for physical activity to make your overall body better and just and to go through life? You know, you're thinking cardio, strength training, weightlifting, or stretching. If you're going to tell me I can only do one, I would get rid of, it would just be stretching.
Yeah.
Like, and holding those poses. And ideally, you got a partner that can help you with it, that can help you go that little bit further, and then breathe into that, surrender through the breath, and hold those stretches for minutes.
Minutes, yeah.
And you'll make great gains. And there's and when it comes to physical fitness, there's like weightlifting, if you want to put muscle on, you know, you're going to spend some time in many weeks, maybe several months, depending on how many pounds you want to put on. And in cardio, you want to increase your aerobic threshold. You're going to have to, you know, do that every day and you'll slowly build.
Yeah.
Stretching is the one that you can make the quickest advances that are so monumental in such a short, what you can do in 1 month with a commitment of doing like an hour a day, and in what you can do in like 6 months, You'll be a yogi in the Cirque du Soleil.
All right, I'm inspired now because I'm flexible, but I could be more flexible because I don't stretch enough. So.
I was the guy that would go to the classes and it's all women, and the teacher who knew me, he'd say, now, and if you're really flexible, and it would be very few people could be as flexible, and I'm not where I've been a little neglectful. But I still do stretch and stretching for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I see you stretching all the time and I'm like, I should be taking the time. And then I'm like, I finished my work and I'm like, okay, on with my day. I don't take that time to stretch. Okay. So you kind of answered this too. Early bird or night owl?
I rise and set with the sun. So I get up early and I go to bed early.
And then one habit that's changed your life.
Plant-based diet and yoga, vegan and yoga.
Vegan and yoga. Nice.
Two answers.
One thing you wish you started sooner.
Vegan and yoga.
Really? You already started it so soon too.
Yeah, but I wish I would have grown up like, you know, I know like Woody's children, they were all raised by Woody and Laura. So they were raised on no processed food.
Yeah, that's amazing.
They didn't have cell phones until they were like well into their teenage years. But they were raised on a raw plant-based diet and hallelujah, breastfed for the first 2 years.
That's amazing.
We were all infant formula, you know, the number one cause of sudden death syndrome is living on that
heavily processed,
the no breast milk.
Yeah. And then you kind of answered this already in a book that influenced you.
Well, there's so many. But if I were going to tell you people the book to read, the reason I say Harvey Diamond's Fit for Life is because it's for the average truck driver, school teacher, you know, that doesn't know anything about health and diet and exercise. And it's such an easy to read book with so much comedy and humor that you're reading it while laughing your ass off. But if you want to read the Holy Grail, at least as far as, yeah, I'm sure there's many other books out there, but without question, 80/10/10 by Dr. Douglas Graham.
Dr. Graham.
That's the Holy Grail. And he starts the book by making honorable mention to Harvey Diamond. That's who I would definitely read 80/10/10 by Dr. Douglas Graham. It's the Holy Grail.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Change your life.
Sunrise or sunset?
Oh, that's a good, you know, and I can't answer that. I can't, both. I don't have a preference.
I'm with you. That's a hard one.
I mean, I guess you'd say just because more people are awake, and I'm a social person, so probably sunset,
yeah,
particularly living on the Pacific Ocean and seeing it. Yeah. But they're both beautiful to me. But I probably, if I had to pick one, I'd say sunset.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
hey, whatever.
And then one thing that you want people to stop believing about aging.
About aging?
Yeah.
Well, that you're predestined, that your average age is you're going to die at 75, when in fact you could easily live to be 115, you know?
Yeah.
Like I said, want to be alive and you want to live long and not die of diseases, stop eating the processed, chemicalized crap diet that supports the meat and dairy industry that then passes you off to the pharmaceutical and the medical industry,
yeah,
which profited more than any industry. They profited in the United States alone $1.5 trillion last year, and the oil industry's $500 billion. Now, I always thought it was the oil industries, and little did I know, of course, duh, it's the medical industry, the big pharma.
100%.
And they're all in bed together, the Food and Drug Administration.
So true.
Keep those profits coming in. Keep them safe.
Yeah. All right, last one. What's your guilty pleasure, like, that's like a non-raw craving, if you have any?
You know, even before I knew anything about diet, with regards to, you know, raw foods and vegan, I was a cyclist at 15 years old in the cycling club. And this is back when, you know, people would make fun of you for wearing those biking shorts back in the, you know, like 76 and 77. And it wasn't popular yet. Greg LeMond was like the American guy that was popular, and it was long before Lance Armstrong. But they were always saying, you know, don't eat, you know, the sugar and the candy. And so I never knew this. And so at a young age, just thank God for that, I gave up sweets. I don't eat candy. I don't eat ice cream. And I occasionally maybe have a vegan ice cream, which is just pure sugar crap. But I gave up all the sweets. I mean, at first I'm eating sweet all day long.
Yeah,
I'm eating sugar
exactly.
All day long.
You don't crave.
So I don't miss any sweets. But when some people says, do you want a little piece of chocolate? It's a really healthy chocolate. I'm like, no, I'm good. But like, sure, you don't want to just a little bit. I'm like, it's not like I'm resisting any urge to have that chocolate.
Exactly.
I mean, go ahead and have it. At least it's a good quality one and not Hershey's.
Yeah.
But it's not for me. And you don't ever see me having a dessert. You don't see me having sweets. I don't eat the cookies. I don't it's just a habit.
Yeah. So would you say vegan ice cream once in a while is kind of like the one that
doesn't happen,
but it's not really,
it's almost unheard of. Yeah. Not even once a year.
Yeah.
I'll conclude by saying this. I wish people would eat, and first off, stop being the whole industry around food with restaurants and everything and the presentation, and it's this social atmosphere. Look at food as what do you want to put in your body to be the best fuel and not be so emotionally attached to the whole process.
Yeah.
And you can see the people that, you know, they just can't stop these habits of eating junk food and stuff. And I feel for those people.
Yeah.
And you try to talk to them, but changing those habits. But don't be emotional. Just like, what's the best fuel? Put some high-level, high-octane fuel in you. Eat that fruit, and it's enjoyable.
100%.
Caters to the taste buds. And
yeah,
that's what I would say, you know?
Definitely.
Stop being emotionally attached. Just put a good fuel source in you.
There you go. I love
Hallelujah.
That. That's a great point to end on. Well, thank you so much, Brett, for being on my podcast. I appreciate it. It was fun to chat about all the raw vegan things, fruit-based things.
My pleasure to be here. My pleasure. And, you know, we're going to have to come back and get my brother on here. I just think that would be so
fun. That would be a very fun conversation.
Because he's the greatest humor to go along with all these things. I'm probably not quite as funny, but
I'm not here.
He's such a crack and a wit.
Yeah, but that would be fun for all three of us to have a nice, fun conversation.
I love you and so glad we're friends.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fruity Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, it would be an honor to have you leave a review. It helps bring more eyes and ears to the podcast, which can continue to spark the conversation about food and our health. I hope you have a fruitful rest of your day.